The book of Ephesians. We have made it to the final chapter in Ephesians. How about those pews? Isn't that great? I didn't get to celebrate last week because we were camping and sitting on some benches, not padded pews. But man, that's really, really great. And tile in the foyer is looking really great. A new carpet. It's exciting. Exciting to be here. It's exciting to see the building get remade, but it's really exciting when you come to God's Word and you see that God is remaking your heart through His Word. And that's really what this whole section of Ephesians has focused on. Since God has saved us by His great grace, He is changing us into the image of Christ to be His new people that walk in His ways. And in all our relationships, which today is going to include children. So kids, if you want to know why you are stuck in the service today instead of enjoying junior church, it's my fault. All right. I just take the blame because I want you to hear the message today. So I've got a couple things that I'm going to do during the service that I think will be helpful. But before we read the passage, kids, do you have one of these pages? It's like a kid's sermon note page. I'm seeing lots of looking around, so I assume not. I think, Lindsay, are you getting some of these from the back? Lindsay's going to get some of these from the back. If you need one, in just a moment, you can hold up your hand and we'll get you one. This is for you to take notes. Of course, there is notes in the bulletin for adults. It doesn't have any pictures on it. But it does have space to write something. So if you need a sermon notes, any kid, raise up your hand. Lee, you're not a kid. Come on. That's great. All right, thank you. I also have some silver coins here that actually will help you if you were trying to learn the catechism question, because on one side of the coin it has the Ten Commandments, if you're trying to learn those. So if you're a kid, I'm going to be throwing these out. Yes, throwing these out during the service, not all at once. That would be chaotic. It's going to be chaotic enough, throwing one at a time. But the way you're going to get these is by paying attention during the sermon and by having a Bible. So if you have a Bible, you need to have it ready. If you don't have one, you need to kindly ask your neighbor if you can have theirs and use it to look up passages. So the first one we're going to look up is our sermon text for today. It is Ephesians 6. So if you could find Ephesians chapter 6 in your Bible, and as soon as you get it, go ahead and stand up if you're able. And we're going to read this text together, Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. The title of the message today, kids, is Why Should Children Obey Their Parents? Why should children obey their parents? And just so you know, kids, it's not just the little kids, because everyone here is actually a child, right? You were, are. So don't think, kids, it's just for you. It's for all of us. Why should children obey their parents? I want to read Ephesians 6, beginning in verse number 1. God says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long in the land." Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we are privileged today to call you our Father. And Lord, we can do that because of what you have done for us. You have adopted us as your children. Those who have turned in faith to Christ have new life, a new relationship with you. And we belong to you as Ephesians has so beautifully laid out in the early chapters. And we ask for your help today, Father, that you would help us to live as your children, that the way we conduct ourselves would reflect on the reality that we now belong to you, and we are indwelt by your Spirit. And as we learn to submit ourselves more and more to you, you are shaping us more in the fashion, more in the appearance of Christ. And God, we ask you to use your word today. I pray for each of the kids here that they would hear this message that is directed straight at them. I pray for parents that we would hear this and we would see our responsibility in it as well. Father, we pray that you might use this time in your word to shape us into a glorious and beautiful church that brings praise to you, that brings wonder to the world as you have changed a people by your grace and made them your own. God, we pray your blessing on our time here today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. All right, so the way this is going to work, kids, with these coins is I am going to be asking you to find a passage in the Bible. All right, I'm going to give a reference, like the book, the chapter, and the verse, and I'm going to ask you to find it. And as soon as you find it, stand up. And the first one who correctly finds it is going to get one of these coins. You got that? You ready to practice? Here's the first one. Don't start turning to it yet. You got to close your Bible. All right. Mark 10:14. Mark chapter 10, verse 14. Go. All right. First one standing up. Joel, dude, you are fast. Mark 10 and verse 14. All right. Let's read. Just read me the first three words. We'll see if you got it. All right, Mark 10 and verse 14. I'm not sure. I'm sorry, that's not the right chapter or verse. This is a good try. Anybody else, real quick? Somebody else found it? You guys all gave up? Oh, Ruth. Okay. Ruth, go ahead. Mark 10, 14. All right, permit the children to come to me. All right, I'm going to try to toss a coin. Everyone around there, watch out. All right, that was pretty good. All right, so that's how it's going to go. So you kids got a Bible, you ready? There's one more, okay? Adults, you can try to beat kids unless you don't want to be embarrassed by them finding it in front of you. But here's the next one. Don't open it until I say go. Matthew 18:5. Matthew 18:5, go. There's lots of going already. All right, Matthew 18:5. Caitlin, in the back, just read me the first, you can read the whole verse. It's really short. All right, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Now, Caitlin, I got to ask you to come halfway because I tried throwing these to the back when no one was in here and it didn't work. There you go. That's awesome. All right, both of those verses show Jesus' heart for children. He wants them to come. He wants them to come to him. He wants them to come to church and hear and learn about him. This is the passage we read earlier, kids. This is one of the few places in the Bible that directly addresses you and tells you what God wants you to know. Now, if I was a kid, which I am still, if I was a kid, I would want this verse to say, children, I will give you everything you want. Right? Wouldn't that be a great passage to read? Every kid would memorize that one and claim it fervently in prayer. Children, I will give you everything that you want. But the scripture says something more uncomfortable. And as we read the Bible, many times we find that it says things uncomfortable to us because the Bible was not written to tell us what we want to hear, but for God to tell us what we need to hear. And so the command to children is, children, obey your parents. Now, how many kids got excited about that? Children, obey your parents. How many parents are excited about that? Only a few. Okay, I'm excited about that. Children, obey. Why do you have to obey your parents? Now, if you've been a kid for very long, you've asked that question. Why? Go clean your room. Why? You need to do your own laundry. What? Why? Why do I need to do that? Why? Well, the Bible gives us some reasons right here why children ought to obey their parents. So we're going to repeat these, all right? Kids especially, adults, you can repeat them as well if you want. The first reason why children should obey their parents is because obedience is right. So repeat that after me, kids. Obedience is right. Let's repeat. Say, I say it, then you say it, all right? So obedience is right. All right, the right side kids got it better than the left side kids. Just because it's obedience is right doesn't mean you can't say it if you're sitting on the left over here. But wait, there's only a few kids over here. So you guys don't have to speak up louder on the next one. But that's the first reason. Obedience is right. The scripture says, look at it again in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, I think this is really cool that he starts off by addressing children, because he's assuming that children are going to hear this letter being read. He's assuming that when the church gathers, there will be someone, as the letter is read out loud to them, there will be someone who will perk up when they hear children. Like, wait, he's speaking directly to me. God values children, and he values having them in the church as the church gathers. Now, who are these children? Obviously, everyone is the child of someone, so it could include all of us. But Paul is speaking here to children who are old enough to hear and understand. He's not necessarily commanding the nursery babies to obey their parents, although parents would love that, but they don't always listen so well. Until they get old enough to understand, and then, well, they still don't always listen so well. But these are also children that are under the care and instruction of their parents. Verse 4 makes that clear, as the fathers are told to discipline and instruct them. So this is referring to this relationship, not an age in particular, but we're looking at perhaps very young children, up to maybe what we would call young adults that are still under the care and support of their parents. Jesus shows a great love for children. And this is a radical departure from the Roman world that this letter was written to, because children did not receive this kind of respect and honor. I mean, this is really an amazing thing, because in the list of people that Paul is giving instructions to so that new believers in Ephesus and everywhere else can behave as God's special people, he singles out the group children. Like, each child that knows the Lord has an important role to play in being God's people. You know, just because you're a kid doesn't mean you don't have an important role at church. It doesn't mean you don't have a special place here. Kids certainly bring a lot of joy to us when they recite, for example, the Ten Commandments this morning. As they did that, many adults were thinking, oh, I don't know how well I would do on the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments, Ray Comfort uses for evangelism a lot, and it's amazing how many people assume they know the Ten Commandments, and then he's got video after video where he asks them to list them, and, you know, they can't really list very many at all. And so it's amazing to have those kids do that and encourage us to hear God's Word. But God's Word places a special emphasis and a value on kids. The first century Rome really wasn't much different than our society today, in the sense that children are not valued. in Rome, a child that was born deformed would be left out to die, would be abandoned. One that was weak might be abandoned and left to die or killed. Even healthy children were regarded as unwanted by many. I say it wasn't much different than America, our world today, even though we don't have people leaving their children in the streets to die or driving them out in the desert and dropping them off. We have a whole medical profession devoted to taking the lives of little ones in the womb. Abortion is a cruel and wicked attack on children, and God's word does not treat children lightly like this. So children are addressed here, and they're told to obey. Now, if you back up with me in chapter 5, there's another relationship we spent several weeks looking at, wives and husbands. And verse 22, it doesn't say wives obey your own husbands, but to be subject to them, to be submissive to them. It's not the same kind of relationship. A wife submits, voluntarily yielding to the leadership of her husband, where children are commanded to obey. They are under obligation to submit themselves to their parents' authority. All right, we've got another verse to look up here. If you've got a Bible, Deuteronomy 11:13, go. Deuteronomy 11:13. Our obedience, what does it mean to obey? It ought to be from the heart. Oh, Noah, go ahead. All right, that's good. I think I can throw it here. Oh, almost a good catch. Deuteronomy tells us that this love is this love for God and this obedience to God is to be done with our whole heart. Obedience is something, when it says children obey your parents, it means you obey with your heart as well. You're not obeying if you're not yielding happily to do it. It doesn't mean you always have to think it's the funnest thing in the world, but you yield yourself to do it. And not the, I'm going to do it, I'm going to obey and take out the trash, but I'm going to grumble and complain and I'm going to slam the door on the way out. That's not obeying. When God calls us to obey His commands, He calls us to do it by loving Him with our whole heart. Another part of obedience is doing it willingly. Willingly. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. If you remember in the Old Testament, the man Abraham, God gave Abraham a very special child. Who can remember that special child's name? Anybody can just shout it out. You don't have to raise hands. Isaac. All right. Isaac. God told Abraham to take his son Isaac and offer him up as a sacrifice. Remember that story? The long-awaited special son. You know what the Bible says Abraham did? He got up early the next morning and he took off to do it. He was obeying right away, willingly. Now, did God want Abraham to kill his son Isaac? No. No, He was teaching Abraham something else. And Abraham didn't offer his son. But God was using it to teach us about the sacrifice that Abraham made. But what I love is seeing how Abraham obeyed willingly, eagerly, quickly. So kids, when God says to obey your parents, He means to do it right away and to do it with a happy heart. To be willing and obedient, He says, you will have the best of the land in Isaiah. So it starts off with obeying the Lord. Children, obey. Did you know the Bible has a lot to say about children obeying? It actually has a lot to say about children disobeying. I don't know if any child here has had their parents turn in the scripture and show them a very important passage in the Old Testament about what happens to disobedient children. Parents, are you familiar with this? When a child was disobedient, the law contained some very strict judgments on that. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, then you can dig through the Old Testament and try to find it. If you do, you might have been tempted to share that with your children before. Like, under the law, if you didn't obey, you might have ended up under a pile of rocks. I mean, this is a serious, serious offense. Scripture says a lot about it. In Romans chapter 1, it's the chapter we turn to see how society goes away from God, how they abandon God. One of the symptoms of a depraved society is disobedience, disobedient children. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul says that it's one of the symptoms of the dark days before the return of Christ. The children will be disobedient to their parents. So this is a big deal to God. God cares whether you obey or not. Now, for parents, I think there's an encouragement to us here that we should be clear in what we're expecting our kids to do. It's hard to obey instructions that you don't understand, right? You ever tried to put together something that came with a little manual that was automatically translated from Chinese and it doesn't really make clear sense and you're having a difficult time? So as parents, we need to make sure we're not giving foggy, confusing, conflicting instructions to our kids. We need to give things clear and simple to make their job easy. Give your children clear instructions and show them by example that you are also trying to obey. Because children are to obey your parents, it says, in the Lord. It reminds us that everybody has an authority. Every authority has an authority. And Paul will reiterate that later when he gives instructions in this chapter to servants and masters. Every authority has authority. And so if we want to lead our children to obey the Lord, then we need to be obeying the Lord. As we seek to follow Christ, we give our children good cause to trust our authority, to love our authority, to appreciate the direction we give as we seek to follow Him. So kids, obey your parents. It's not just because it's helpful to parents, but it says to do it in the Lord. It's something that the Lord desires. Because if kids are going to be the kids that belong to God, then they're going to be kids that walk in God's ways, which means they're going to be eager to hear their parents. Parents, we shouldn't try to motivate our kids to obey just because we're bigger and stronger than them. Because that doesn't really last very long. We don't motivate them to obey just because we can bully them into submission. Because that won't work very long. That will breed rebellion as soon as there's the opportunity to fight against the one that's forcing them to do something. Now, we ought to seek to motivate our children to obey us because they need to obey God. This is, kids, why it's so important that you learn to obey your parents quickly and happily, is because God demands of every one of us that we submit ourselves to Him. That we obey Him, that we follow Him. This is right, Paul says. Children should obey their parents because it's right. They need to obey because God has commanded it. So Paul doesn't mean here only obey your parents if they are in the Lord. Like if they're Christians, then you have to obey them. If they're not Christians, then you don't have to obey them. He doesn't mean you have to obey them if they perfectly follow the Lord. One of the sad things that happens as a parent is when your children realize how you're not perfect. And it's not so sad when they realize that. It's sad when they bring it up to you. But the Bible does not say, hey, teenager, your dad, he's not perfect either. So you don't have to listen to it. That's not it. The reality is all of us are sinners. All of us have broken God's commands. That's why we need the gospel. We need forgiveness and cleansing. So it doesn't mean you're not obligated to obey your parents if you don't think they're smart enough or perfect enough or good enough. This is a command from God to you, not just a command from your parents to you. Children, obey in the Lord. There is a duty then in the Lord to obey your parents. Now, does it mean to always obey them in everything? I became a Christian as a teenager, and my dad was not a Christian. And I remember very specifically him asking me to do something that in my conscience I thought was just sinful and wrong, and I couldn't do it. Does this verse obligate me to do what I feel I can't do? Or does this verse obligate me to not do what I feel God compels me to do? Well, again, every authority is under authority, except for God. God is the one authority above all. He is the one authority that every other authority is judged by, that every other authority has to bow to. Now, when my dad asked me to do that, I tell you, I didn't do it. And I told him I couldn't do it. But I didn't go to him and say, I'm not going to obey you. What do you mean telling me to do that? That's not even right. Do you want me to sin against God? What's wrong with you? I would have all been like accurate, right? But not a good way to do it. That would be failing to do what the very next verse tells us to do. And that is to honor our parents. So even disobedience that's required because of obedience to God, even that disobedience ought to be tempered with a desire to please and to honor God's word and the authorities placed over us. So respectfully, I just had to say, Dad, you know I can't do that. I want to follow after Christ, and I just think that's wrong, and I can't do it. And he didn't like it very much, but he didn't get too upset, and that was it. He didn't ask me to do that again. Later, my dad became a Christian, which I'm very grateful for. But even our disobedience ought to be tempered by desiring to please the Lord in this command. So if you are going to be able to obey your parents like this, let me just get a raise of hands from kids. How many of you find it easy to always do exactly what your parents say right away? Anybody? All right, we got one. One innocent, perfect child. Anybody else? That's hard. Sometimes you don't want to obey. Sometimes you don't understand what they're saying, why it matters. You don't feel like it. You'd rather do something else. How do you learn to obey when it's hard and you don't like it? Well, this instruction is part of God's instruction to His new people. As a kid, if you want to honor your parents in this way, Paul is presuming that you have bowed your knee to Christ, that you've submitted to Him as Lord. The only way we can really be obedient to our parents is if we submit ourselves to God. And parents, the way we can help prepare our children to submit themselves to God is to teach them to submit to our authority. These are intertwined together. This whole passage, starting back in verse 22 down through verse 22 of the last chapter, going through verse 9 of this chapter, that's giving instructions to specific people, it all flows out of what we were told back in verse number 18, that we are to be filled with the Spirit. Spirit-filled people. How do Spirit-filled wives act? How do Spirit-filled husbands act? How do Spirit-filled children act? How do Spirit-filled fathers, masters, servants? This is what's laid out. the only way we can be the husband we're supposed to be, or the wife we're supposed to be, or the child or parent, is to be filled with God's Spirit. It means that we are genuinely saved. You know, children are not too young to understand the gospel. If they're expected here to walk in obedience to God's Spirit, in obedience to their parents, then clearly you, if you can hear and understand the words that I'm saying, there's potential for you to hear and understand the gospel and become a Christian. Becoming a Christian isn't something you wait to do until you're 45, you know, really, really old like that, or until you're 30, or until you're 15 or 16, or until you become 18 or 21. No, if you know the gospel, then you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel message is simply that God made you. He is perfect and holy and righteous, and you were put here for His glory. But instead of seeking after God, you disobey Him, right? One way we, as kids, we disobey God is by disobeying our parents. We want what we want. We don't want to bow our knee to Christ as the Lord of our lives. We don't want Him to be the king. We want to be the king. And that puts us in a place separate from God, where we will be under God's judgment. Under God's judgment. God will punish sin. Parents, I think the reality of hell and the reality of God's judgment on sin is one of the vital, vital reasons why we must insist our children obey. We teach them to obey us because we want to bring to light that they must obey God or there will be consequences. And they're not just going to lose their video game privileges for a few days. They're not just going to get us bothered at them. They're not just going to get disciplined in some way. If they do not submit to God, they will face His eternal wrath. We must teach our kids to obey. We must insist they obey as a way to teach them that they must submit to God. But kids, if you know you've sinned against God, you know you deserve punishment, you can understand that at a very little age. You can understand that you're guilty and that you deserve punishment. Well, the other good thing you need to understand, you know, I remember very clearly when I was a kid in, I was in fifth grade, and a boy from school invited me to go to his church, and I went to summer camp. And I remember very clearly hearing a message about sin and God's judgment, and I knew I was in really big trouble. I knew that if I stood before God, everything I had done bad would be held against me, and that was not going to end well. It was going to be terrible. And I was scared of that. You say, how dare they try to scare you as a little child? Well, they weren't trying to scare me as a little child. They're trying to tell me the truth about God and about sin and about the consequences of my actions. So I heard that and I knew I was guilty. Here's the great news of the gospel. Every one of us may be guilty, but we can be forgiven. We can be cleansed. You don't get forgiven by trying to come to church every week and learning all the catechism questions, although you should do those. You don't get forgiven by doing that. You get forgiven by coming to Jesus. Jesus came and He died for sinners. He died for sinners like you, young and old. He died for us that we might come to Him in faith and be cleansed and forgiven. As a kid, you may not understand all that. Well, you need to ask your parents. You need to ask your junior church teachers. You need to ask one of the pastors to help you to understand, or go ask them questions about it. We'd love to help you to understand the gospel, because it's only as a Christian kid you're going to be able to obey your parents in the way that Paul's talking about here. All right, the first reason for obedience, who remembers it, a kid? Obedience is, It was number one. All right, let's go over here. William. Is right. Obedience is right. So if you forgot, you can just look right up there, right? So number one, repeat it after me. Obedience is right. All right. That's okay. Next time, I want to hear the left side over here. So there's only one, two, three on the left side. You guys are vastly outnumbered, but you can do this. The second reason why we are to obey our parents is that obedience is required. Let's say that. Obedience is required. All right. I still heard more over here, but you're outnumbered, so that's good. Obedience is required. Look at verse number 2 of our text. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, who knows why on the screen those words are in all capital letters? Honor your father and mother. Anybody can just blurt it out. You got a hand raised. Why is it in all caps? It is important. That's good. I knew this was going to be a trick question. It is very important, but it's not just God shouting at you. Like online, when things are in all caps, it's like screaming at you. It's Samuel? It's one of the Ten Commandments. Specifically, it's like that because it's quoting from the Old Testament, one of the Ten Commandments. So Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he gives another part of this obedience, another reason why you should do it. It's because God commanded it in the Old Testament. He requires it. This is not something you get to do away with if you don't like it. Children are required to obey their parents. All right, I have a few more coins. I've got Deuteronomy 5:16. So you got your Bible, Deuteronomy 5:16. Go, and the first kid to stand up, I've got a coin for you. Deuteronomy 5:16. All right, Samuel, what does the first part of that say? All right, Samuel, that's really awesome and good job reading. The next verse after the one you read is verse 16. And you can run up halfway and I'll toss this to you. It says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, and that your days may be prolonged, and that it may be well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, if you were paying attention to something besides him trying to find that coin I threw at him, you noticed that this sounds a whole lot like Ephesians 2, verse 2 and 3 that we read. This is one of the Ten Commandments. So of all the rules that God gave to his people on Mount Sinai, he gave the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. And one of them was for children to honor their parents. So a key part of God's relationship with his people would be that his people would train their children to honor their parents, to honor your father and mother. So this is an integral part of a relationship with God. Kids, listen, if you are not in a right relationship with your parents, you're rejecting them, you're not obeying them, then you are not in a right relationship with God. If you have a bad attitude towards them, you are not in a right relationship with God. The word honor in the Old Testament has a meaning that has to do with something that is weighty or heavy. It's translated glory many times in reference to God. Because if God is significant, He is weighty, He is worthy of honor and respect. So here parents are basically, we're told not to treat them lightly. Not to act like our parents are one of our friends. Now, don't get me wrong, I want to be friends with my children, but friends that are kids talk to each other in ways that kids should not talk to their parents. All right, they might tease and they might be sarcastic with their friend in a way that's not appropriate to do with their parents, because we honor our parents. And to honor them is to not take them lightly, is to treat them as worthy of respect. The opposite of honoring your parents would be to despise them. It would be to shrug off their advice or their instruction. It would be to roll your eyes and look away when they're talking to you instead of looking at them and hearing what they have to say. Kids, if you want to shock your parents when they speak to you, stop what you're doing and look at them. It will totally blow their minds. They will forget what they're telling you, right? You can totally disarm them by doing it. That's what we want to train our kids to do. Because we want to train them to obey God's word, to honor their parents. So when you're spoken to, you listen and you pay attention and you acknowledge it. Now, as we look at honoring and obeying your parents, and we recognize we're all children, and the oldest person in here is a child. And you may not have parents that are living, but you have parents. You have those over you. How is an adult child supposed to treat their parents? Well, they're still supposed to honor them. There's no time limit put on here. It doesn't say, honor your father and mother, unless they're really old. No, it doesn't say that. It says to honor them. Now, that looks different at different times, right? When you're a small child in the home, you're honoring your parents looks like obedience, doing exactly what they say, when they say it, eagerly, willingly. That's honoring your parents. You know, if you really want to please your parents and treat them nice, listen to what they tell you. That honors them. But as you grow older, the command to obey them doesn't necessarily extend forever. As you get to where you're taking care of yourself, you're meeting your own needs, you're an adult in that sense, your level of honor should never change, but your level of obedience may. In other words, as an adult, I am 40-something, and as an adult, I want to honor and obey my mother, but that doesn't mean I have to buy the exact groceries that my mother wants me to buy for our family. Or I have to like the things she tells me to like. I need to honor her, but I don't have to obey every little thing she says because I'm an adult now. Our relationship is still one of honor and respect, but it's different in this level of obedience. But how do we honor and obey this if we're grown or semi-grown as a parent? Or as a child, I should say. Well, it means we ought to seek the advice of our parents. We ought to seek wisdom from their experience. You know, it's amazing that the older you get, the more you realize your parents were not nuts. Meaning that they had some idea of what they were talking about. Right? They're not perfect, just like none of us are. So they don't always know the right thing. They didn't always do the right thing. But there's a lot of wisdom to be gleaned from the experience of someone who's not seeing something for the very first time. So if you want to honor them and you're a young adult or an older adult, seek their counsel. Seek their experience. It certainly might involve, as they grow older, caring for them. You know, showing them how to work their phone. Helping them see that, no, you did not leave that voicemail today. It was actually 3 months ago that it was left. You might need to care for them that way by patiently helping them with things that you understand that maybe they don't. Maybe providing practical help, maybe providing financial help to help them as they need it. It's a way to honor them, caring for them, comforting them, as eventually, if they live long enough, they'll become frail and unwell and need care and comfort. And if you're in a position where you're caring for someone that is maybe not even appreciating it, sometimes in illness, we get to the point where we don't act rationally and we don't treat people right. And if you're caring for someone that's like that, it's hard. But remember, you're doing it to honor the Lord and to honor your parents. And may God give us strength to show love and grace there. What about when your parents are difficult? What about when your parents were abusive or were just evil people and did evil things, perhaps to you, or allowed evil things to happen and didn't prevent them? How does a Christian honor their parents in this circumstance? Well, I think first you do it by turning to God. You thank God for the parents that He's given to you. You forgive them for what they may have done against you from your heart. And you ask God to help you remove all bitterness away. In Ephesians 5:20, it says we are to always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is sovereign, not only in saving you, but in placing you in the family or lack of family that you had growing up. So He has purposes even in uncomfortable, unpleasant, and awful situations to bring about good. I don't understand all of God's ways, but I know that if His own Son suffered unspeakable evil and hatred and was put to death to accomplish our salvation, then I know that sometimes there are things that are uncomfortable and awful that we experience as part of God's plan to make us who we are. And to allow us to learn to trust Him and give Him glory and even to correct those mistakes in the next generation. So even if your parents were evil to you, it does not give you permission to be evil to them. You overcome evil with good, not the other way around. Romans 12, probably from verse 17 through the end of the chapter, is a great place to go. If you're struggling with how do I respond to parents or grown, even as I'm a grown person responding to my parents who have treated me wrong, you overcome evil with good. Practice practical deeds of love and kindness towards them. Now, the sad thing is you cannot control other people. It's a hard lesson to learn. Especially when you first get married and you want to control the other person. It doesn't quite work like that. And as our kids grow older, we realize it doesn't work like that either. You can't control how other people are going to respond. But you can control, by God's grace, how you will respond. That you will be kind, that you will be gracious. It's not that you have to put yourself under abuse or that you have to endure it. But you do have to love, honor and obey your parents as defined here. You certainly should pray. Pray for God's help. Pray for His grace. All right, kids. So number one, obedience is what?
Right.
All right. That's right. And then obedience is?
Required.
All right. You guys got this so good. We're ready for the last one. Obedience is rewarded. Rewarded. Verse number 3 of our text says, actually, let's look at the end of verse 2. It says, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long in the land. I love that the Lord does this because He makes it clear that He's motivating children to obey, not just with threats. As a parent, you can fall into that trap where the way you motivate is by letting them know what's going to happen if they don't do it. You get focused on the negative. And here this instruction is so beautifully framed around promise, reward. Obedience is not just what you do so you don't get in trouble. Obedience is actually the path to blessing. It's the path to joy. The greatest joy you will ever find in life, whether you're a child or an adult, is in obeying the Lord. Is in walking in His ways. As a kid, may God help you to see that the way to joy in your house is to listen to your parents. So that you will know the way to joy in your life in the future is to obey the Lord, to walk in His ways. So this promise is appropriate to the command here. Children get their life from their parents and they enjoy their life by honoring their parents. They get long life, it says. So children who honor their parents tend to enjoy the blessings of a close family relationship. Sin will always rob you of joy. It will promise you joy, but it will actually rob you of joy. Disobedience promises joy, but it will rob you of joy. Obedience, on the other hand, to God always is rewarding. It always enriches you. It always blesses you. God's way is the best way. And it's the best way for you. It's the lie of the devil. Listen, it's the devil's voice that says following God's way is good for God, but it's not good for me. It's the devil who says to you that that may be good for God, but it's no fun for me. It's not best for me. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. God's way is the best way. He says that it may be well with you and that you may live long. That you may live long in the land or on the earth. Now, this is a general statement, not an unconditional promise. What do I mean by that? Did Jesus obey His parents? All right. If you're remotely awake, just nod. There you go. Did Jesus obey His parents? Yes. How old was Jesus when He died? 33. That only seems like a long life to a young child, right? Imagine you must be really, really old to be 33. That's not very old. So did God not keep His promise to Jesus? No, this is a general principle. It's not a promise to every single individual. It's a statement that God will bless obedience. And generally, that results in a longer, happier life. If you learn to obey authority, life goes much better. Certainly, disobedience messes everything up. Disobedience leads to trouble. It leads to heartache. In Romans 1:30, disobedience to parents is one of the characteristics of people that are depraved and separated from God. It is the mark of the godless in the last days, 2 Timothy 3. So when children disobey parents, they don't honor authority, it leads to trouble. Kids, obeying God is the very best way. And God tells you to obey your parents. Why? Because it is right. It's the right thing to do. Because it's required. God commands you to do it. Because it's rewarded. There is joy in knowing and following Jesus. All right, I got one last verse to look up. Proverbs 6:20. Proverbs 6:20. And during this last commercial break, parents, I want to bring your attention to a parenting conference that is going to be held at Foothill Bible Church in Upton. Do I have a kid standing up? I got right here. Hold on for just a second. There's a flyer like this on the back table, except for they're green pieces of paper. They're for you to take if you're interested in learning more about parenting your children in a God-honoring way. It's based on the book Shepherding a Child's Heart, which is just a really fantastic book for parents. So this flyer is back there. I would urge you to consider going and checking that out. All right, who was first over here? Does anybody know? Ruth? All right, Ruth, the verse was Proverbs 6:20.
My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother.
All right, a good closing admonition. Observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Didn't I already throw you one of these? All right. Oh, there's one to give to someone else. All right. I have one more in my hand. If you are a kid and you took notes on the message, you can come up to me afterwards and I'm going to pick who got all the points and the best notes. And if you all did really good, well, then I'll have to come up with some more prizes. But I at least have one more. If you do not, one final thing, if you do not obey your parents, that doesn't mean you're not obeying someone. When kids don't obey their parents, they usually obey their friends. Especially happens as kids get a little older. Just because you're not obeying your parents doesn't mean you're doing your own thing. It means you're obeying somebody else. We follow others. Even the leaders among us follow others that have influenced us, that have shaped us. God commands you to obey your parents because they're older and they've had more experience, and certainly if they're Christian, they have more truth to give you than your peers. How often teenage rebels go and look like all the other teenage rebels? You know what that says is they're still obeying someone. It's just not their God-given authority. And that's not right. That's against God's requirements. And that doesn't lead to joy. That doesn't lead to reward from the Lord. You have a choice to submit yourself to God and His authority or to go your own way, do your own thing, ultimately following after the devil, after Satan, and following his evil ways. So choose life. Choose joy. Psalm 148, 12 and 13 says, both the young men and virgins, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer here today. Oh God, we are grateful to be able to gather as a church with children and with older folks and all in between to give praise to You. You are worthy of it, God. Your ways are good and right. Your design for a marriage and a family is the best way, is the way that brings joy into a home, that brings glory to You as we learn not to walk all our own ways, but to walk in Your ways by the power of Your Spirit. And God, we come confessing today that we need Your help. We need Your help to obey You. I know there's kids in here today that have realized they need to obey their parents. And they've been convicted, perhaps, in their hearts that they've not been obeying them. God, I pray You'd help them. Help them to understand that feeling is the conviction of their sins from You. It's a sin that is wrong and will face judgment unless they come to Christ for forgiveness.
I pray for our children that they might understand sin and guilt and judgment and also righteousness and mercy and forgiveness in Christ. Lord, we pray that they might hear and believe the gospel and be born again. And Lord, I pray the same for adults that are here today. We ask special help today, Lord, for us that have children still under our care at home, that you would help us to honor you as parents, that our lives would demonstrate to them a pursuit after you, that we would be able to lead them to obey you as we seek to obey you. Lord, give us wisdom and patience. Lord, fill us with your Spirit, that we might submit to you and your truth and be faithful parents. Lord, because we confess, we do not always know what's best. We do not always do what's best. We often sin even in the way we try to train our children, and we ask your mercy, God. We ask your cleansing and forgiveness and your renewal, that we might learn more and more to walk in your ways and more beautifully reflect this new reality that we were dead, but now we're alive. We were condemned, but now we are accepted. We were outcast, but now we're family by your great grace. And we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, kids.